Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 105 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with the numbers coming out of the Tenet release and some of the decisions facing the rival studios. And then we've got the big news around Xbox price announcements and the details between the Series S and Series X. And then we'll move over to tech news and recap some of our previous stories with the DoD cloud storage, TikTok, Huawei, and then move into some new news regarding SpaceX and robots. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 105 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And, you know, this is coming right on the heels of an actual in-person sighting of between Steve and I, which is
very
a
rare thing.
But we're still recording in separate locations, but in close proximity for the first time in a while. But we'll jump right into the news, as there's a lot to get through. And we can start with really where kind of Tenet fell out. We were waiting for what the numbers would be. What's the new norm? What's the new expectation for theaters? And we see Tenet with their first opening weekend. They didn't announce results until Sunday. And it was a $20.2 million opening. And I think last week, what did we say the over-under was?
I think we said 20.
And I went over.
Yeah.
So I think I win.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember what I said. I think I said over.
But
I figured it'd be around 20.
Yeah, and you know, the previous week had a total box office of all movies showing that there was only a couple, but of 16 million. So Tenet increased overall U.S. box office by a little bit, but there still just isn't much space for big releases.
Well, with the theaters only at like 20-40% capacity, with fears still being really high, I would consider it a success somewhat. You know, I mean, I understand these movies cost money and really it's just about the bottom line. But obviously, if theaters are at like 20-30%, you can multiply that number by 3-5 times X, and you know, it's almost $100 million weekend in a normal, you know, setting. Which,
yeah, and I mean, you still don't have New York, still has no open theaters. Los Angeles still has no open theaters. You have major markets not even a part of the conversation at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big number to get today. It's still not looking good for theaters and looking good for these movie studios.
Yeah, but so I don't know. I side with Nolan on this. Like, I get it. It's a business. We need to make money. But at some point, I think Nolan just wanted to bring some joy in people's lives and some normalcy, and said, let the money be damned. I'm not going to risk this movie getting bootlegged or getting leaked. I want people to enjoy it in the theater. I want them to do it as soon as possible. And yeah, they're going to break even on this movie overall. You know what I mean? By the time it leaves the theater, DVD sales, video on demand sales, all that kind of stuff, they won't lose money on this movie. But this was supposed to be like a $600 million, $700 million movie. So prospectively, yeah, I guess you lose.
It's financially not going to make back really what it spent on it. I think worldwide, it's still now we're finished up week two, and I think it's hit $200 million worldwide at this point. So it's still going to probably tip the scales as somewhat profitable down the road. Who knows how much money they lost in like added advertising costs, having to kind of like keep delaying this thing and keep pushing and promoting it and whatever else. But in the end, it's probably going to be marginally profitable, but not nearly, you know, why they hired on Christopher Nolan as far as like the movie studios. Yeah, I get what Christopher Nolan wants to do. He just wants his art out there. He wants to have his movie seen.
I got a respect for that, though. You know what I mean? Like, I see both sides. I do. And I'm very sympathetic to both.
Well, but what we see is an indicator troubling for just the movie industry as a whole is, well, initially, the rival studios or whatever else were a bit upset with Warner Brothers in the sense that they were not releasing real-time box office data, which is the norm in the industry. It's kind of day-by-day box office data. And Tenet didn't release, you know, they opened up on Thursday. They didn't release any of their numbers until Sunday.
Which I don't blame them.
And then they, no, me neither. You know, they don't want...
We're not your fucking guinea pig, you motherfuckers. Like, you want to release your movie, release your movie. Like,
yeah, and then they did the same thing for the second week. They really didn't say anything about it until the full weekend wrapped up, and now they announce that, you know, they're at about 200 million worldwide, and they're announcing their numbers, but they're keeping it pretty close to the chest and in real time.
Well, they
mostly
could,
because, you know, they don't want,
they can look at it so that coming out, so that, coming out like saying, a lot of the other studios kind of fuck them, you know, by Trolls going to video on demand or a lot of stuff going to video on demand, they open that Pandora's box that'll never be able to be closed ever again, and kind of really fucked the theaters in the long run, because there's a lot of people thinking right now that, oh, Tenet will go VOD. Like, I don't need to go to the theater. Tenet will go VOD in 3 weeks. So they're waiting. Like, we're Universal of releasing Trolls and Disney putting Mulan out on VOD and all these other movies going on VOD, we opened that Pandora's box of just options for viewers. And I think that has a lot to do with the effect on the ticket sales. It's a whole bunch of factors, but I do believe that plays into one of them.
No, I could see that absolutely having an effect. And it put pressure on the movie studios that, you know, that even when they were looking at potentially finding a way to reopen, there wasn't much left for them to open with. So it was putting them in a bad spot. Either way, this is just a bad situation for everybody that Tenet only does this. Yes, it's good for Tenet. It's good for those who were able to go see the movie. But now we get like Sony coming out saying that they will not make the mistake of releasing a $200 million movie until there's a full reopening of theaters, which who the hell knows when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Sony's, you know, they've come out and said this, but you've got to think every other studio right now is thinking that. They are not going to make a $200 million movie right now. If they've got one in the can, they're not going to release it. If there's best case scenario, they're not going to probably beat Tenet's $20 million opening, then they're going to hold on to it, or they're just not going to make it, which means, you know, even if theaters reopen next year in 2021, I can foresee a year delay, year and a half delay of these major.
Well, like, I just, studios. This makes me just wonder how much money these studios have in their war chests, because you have other businesses like restaurants and things like that that have to open up and run at a break even or very thin profit margin just to stay in business right now. You know, so there are plenty of businesses right now getting by the skin of their ass, and they don't have the luxury of just saying, oh, we'll wait it out. You know, we'll just wait it out till things go back normal. You know, what about the movie industry makes them so fucking special that they don't have to provide, you know, entertainment and some kind of normalcy to society and just run at that pencil thin margin or break even point to be a part of a functional society? You know, like they just must be sitting on piles of money.
Pencil thin margins are on the $50 million movies, right? Those are the movies that they're low budget to make. They don't ever expect it to have a big box office hit. There's plenty of those movies that are out there. And like Sony's not saying they're not going to make that $50, $80 million movie. But why would you bill top talent and top directors and all that stuff for a movie?
Well, any movie that's
going to
release right now was already shot before COVID. And I understand revamping your plans on what your budgets are if you're going to make a movie right now, which is also complete, you know, really difficult to do in COVID days. But everything that they got sitting in the can waiting was made. It was pre-COVid. So I don't know. I'm sympathetic to every other business that doesn't have the luxury of shutting down for a year and just coming back and being like, hey, you know, be grateful we didn't die. And like, I don't know. I just, it's really weird.
Yeah. I mean, I just think you hold on to those for now, and you know, you eventually get back into those big releases, but we've already seen, Wonder Woman got pushed back to Christmas release now, from November, pushed back another month. Let's see if it even holds that spot. there's going to be, I think, this continued role of all these big movies well deep into 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just putting a strain on the theaters again. And without the theaters, what is Sony going to do? You know, like if I was AMC and Cinemark and all these companies, I'd be putting pressure on these theaters. Like, oh, you're just going to hold all your shit? Yeah, no, fuck you. We're open. You don't give us a movie, we ain't playing your shit in Christmas. Sorry about it. Like, they, like, because if
they still lose out on that deal.
I mean, but honestly, like, if there's no movies in the theater, how the fuck are these theaters supposed to make money? They closed longer than any other business. They finally just got to open. Like you stated, LA and New York still ain't open. There's still a lot of places. I could go to my theater. But if there's nothing to draw people into the theaters like Tenet, then what? People are going to risk, you know, going to a socially distant movie theater to see fucking Bill and Ted's? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that the industry is in for a rough another 6 months, as I think we're going to see more and more delays until we can go full capacity. I just don't see a lot of industries or a lot of studios following the Tenet suit and just saying, let's break even on this one.
I just see it as a, let's keep movie theaters alive. Let's keep our, you know, like, it's almost like, you know, like the tire industry tanking the automobile industry on purpose. Like, you can't have one without the other. Like, if you're Goodyear, you don't fuck over Ford to maximize your profits. Like, no, motherfucker. Like, you need the cars to put the tires on. Like, you don't. You know, bite the hand. Like, I just see this not being well. And if I was AMC, I would start flexing on these movie studios. Like, they took out a huge loan. They're selling off assets. Like, they're doing everything they can to stay profitable and stay open. All this money invested into COVID, you know, filters and extra cleaning, and the money they lost on the concessions by limiting menus to keep everybody safe. And they're doing all this shit so they can show the movies. And then the people with the movies are going to be like, yeah, now fuck you, die. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, we can move into some other, I guess, brief movie talk around this just mess going on over at Warner Brothers with this Ray Fisher investigation and his allegations against Joss Whedon, and, you know, the unprofessional behavior that took place over at Justice League. I guess I just want this movie to die.
Yeah. And I have an issue with this whole toxic workplace trend that we're going through right now. Like, I don't know. I've been working for over 20 years. When the fuck hasn't my workplace been toxic? Like, I thought that was called work. I get that there's a line somewhere, but I don't know where people are trying to move this line to now, because I just thought it was standard that your boss is an asshole. You don't want to be here. Like, workplace is not fun time. People don't pay you to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm also in the same camp where it's like, I guess I just don't care. I don't care if a director's a dick on set. I don't care if you like working. Like, just don't do another project with that guy then. Yeah. I guess I just don't really care.
Well, I'm a business owner. I am a boss. And I'll tell you right now, I'm a fucking asshole. I'm an asshole. Because guess what? Humans only do shit out of fear. Fear of me firing you, fear of me cutting your hours, fear of me berating you and making you feel like a moron. That's what keeps people from fucking up. There's no like, hey, bud, you know, you didn't do too good on this last, you know, pipe that we put in. You see how it's like crooked as hell and it makes me look like shit and you like a moron? Could you not do that anymore? Like, no, you look at him, you say, what the fuck are you doing? Get your shit together or you're fucking fired. You know, and I just, send I don't your, know.
Send your corporate leadership books to Steve at thenerdcantina.com. And
yeah. I am the HR department, motherfucker. Eat a dick. You know, but I just don't get, like, where, so what, man? Joss Whedon got thrown into a movie that he was second fiddle on. He wasn't his movie to start. They gave him a pile of bullshit, said, here, take this bullshit and make it good. Everybody was, you know, like, they act like he was the only person, you know, make it a toxic environment. You think like Cavill and all them were happy to do reshoots and all this shit? Like, no, it was a miserable fucking set all around, I'm sure. You know, but Joss Whedon was supposed to bend over backwards and throw you assholes pizza parties every fucking day. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no. And then, you know, the latest coming out of this camp is, you know, that Warner Brothers Media supposedly was doing an investigation. And then Ray Fisher essentially like walked out of the investigations. Warner Brothers Studios is saying that he's not participating and not being helpful towards the investigation into the workplace. And then Ray Fisher obviously is throwing, you know, counter allegations saying, hey, this is not Warner Media doing an investigation. It's just Warner Studios. It's the movie studio just saving face, doing their own investigation. And then he showed up to the investigation on Zoom and they had like their own like legal counsel witnesses. And he was just kind of had to pump the brakes and say, hold on, if you're going to have witnesses and you're going to have people on your camp on the legal side, why did I not bring my lawyer? Why was I not told about this? I thought this was just an informal Q&A. So he walked away from it, which I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, like, no.
If you ever show up in a room and the other side has lawyers and you don't, you're underprepared.
Yep.
Like,
yep, shut the fuck up and walk out that room. I've been watching. I'm on season 4 of Suits. I've been pounding the shit out of Suits for the last fucking 2 weeks. And like, yeah, that's one thing I know. Just get the fuck out of that room. Don't say anything stupid.
Yeah. So this is just a weird piece coming out of the camp there, out of Warner Media, Warner Studios. I feel like this is all just like a continued promotional tool.
Yeah, I mean,
until the Snyder
when you
cut
hear
comes
like
out.
Toxic workplace, you think of like Joss Whedon smacking Gal Gadot on the ass, you know, like doing just like all kinds of ignorant shit. Did he yell at you? Did he really? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you suck at your job at some point and they had to tell you to do better? Oh, like, get the fuck out of here, man. This is bullshit. You know?
All right, well, let's move on from that. We can go into video game talk. And really, there's just the big news coming out of video games this week is surrounded around the Xbox price. And we finally get, you know, confirmation of a Series S and a Series X.
Yeah, so the Series S probably the big shocker. I don't think anybody was shocked at a $599 price tag. Like, everybody was guessing that, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what we just expected, you know. But to see that they have a $299 version is interesting. Like, there's a lot of people that don't care about all that max power. They just want to be able to play the next gen games, you know, because once a year after the console releases, the newest games are only going to be for 1X. Like, they're not going to be Xbox One compatible. So I do like the fact that they came out with one that is basically affordable to everybody. You know, $299 is pretty standard for any kind of gaming system.
I mean, it's really the cheapest entry point ever to get into a next gen console. Like, it really is, other than like Nintendo Switch.
Well,
and stuff
360,
like that.
But 360
Xbox,
was $299 on release. But if you equate for inflation, then yeah,
it's, I was gonna say, yeah, you're reaching back for, but yeah, still it's affordable. For the Series S, and you know, the specs as far as the difference, it's not going to get you 4K 60 FPS as the standard. It's going to keep you at that 1440 resolution, which is still going to be good for most individuals. You know, it loses the optical drive, so it's digital downloads only, no discs. I think that's becoming the standard on how games are. Even if you have the disc, you can't play it just by putting the disc in. You still have to do the digital download or download the updates and everything else. So in the end, it eats up hard drive space. Having the disc doesn't do much for you there. Other than
the only thing I don't like about not having a disc drive is that you are really reliant on your internet connection. You know, you want to watch a movie that you have a, you know, video on demand. If you want to, like, I have a stack of Blu-rays in my basement still, you know, 4K, 3D, all that shit. I like having those on backup in case Comcast ever goes down. So if Comcast ever goes down, yeah, my Movies Anywhere app ain't doing shit for me. it ain't doing a goddamn thing, you know? So same thing with, like, if you wanted to play, you know, someone, a borrowed game, you know, you're, what it's doing is really locking people in on Game Pass and buying the SSD expansion. Like, that's basically what it's doing.
I mean, it's definitely, yeah, getting rid of, you know, kind of game sharing. It really will limit. Yes, the Series S will still be backwards compatible, but if it doesn't have a place to put your, you know, Xbox One games in, well, how backwards compatible really is it for you?
That's what I'm saying.
So it really does rely on, yeah, that it's really just a next gen game console for Game Pass for digital downloads. And then it only has the 512 gigabyte hard drive, which means that you get, what, maybe 3 or 4 AAA games, like major game studio games. They're all at 100 and some gig.
Oh, yeah. Some of these expansions are ridiculous. Like, you play Warzone, yeah, you get Warzone. Really, that's it. You get Call of Duty Warzone, and that's it.
Yeah, so it really becomes kind of a, yes, you have, you know, hard drive space, but you're not having a big, huge library of games that you can play on there that you can switch back and forth from. No, you're going to be constantly deleting a game to make space for a new game, doing a download and getting ready to play.
Or you're going
to
have to purchase one of the SSD expansions, which they did just announce this week, that were hot swappable. So you don't have to shut off your console to swap the hard drives. It's just pop out one, put in another. So if you do buy a terabyte expansion and you have some games on one and other games on the other, you don't have to reboot your whole console if you want to switch games. It's just pop out the old hard, pop out your first hard drive, put in the second, pick the game you want and keep up and running, which is a lot more convenient than the other option of having to shut everything down, you know. But I get it. Like, if they would have put the 1 terabyte in there, they couldn't have kept the $299 price point. And I think hitting that price point was more important than everything else.
Yeah, and yeah, they definitely need to justify, you know, getting down to $299, and then justify why would people spend $300 more. So space is a part of it, the optical drive is a part of it, and then the big part of it is just the greater computing power to get to 60 FPS, to get to 4K gaming. And then also the Series S doesn't upscale previous games, whereas the Series X does. Yeah. So Series X will take backwards compatible games and make it current resolution, make it better. The Series S is only going to play it at whatever that original format was. So, I mean, there's reasons to go with the Series X over S if you're a big-time gamer, if you're really interested in resolution, all that
elitist
stuff.
Gamers are ripping on this thing, but it's like, bro, this box isn't for you. Like, this.
No, yeah, the Series S is for me. Yeah. It's 100% for me. Yeah, like, all I want to do is for a couple hours a month play a game. But no, I don't need it to be the prettiest thing in the world, and I don't need it to be, my TV can't even play 4K. What do I need? A game system that's playing 4K. So the Series S is for me. If I want to just keep up with, yeah, playing the next gen games that are releasing, you know, if I want to play Halo Infinite, but I just don't want to commit $1,000 to do so, between the game console and then the games and updates and everything else. So I was actually impressed with the fact that they did it. I really wasn't. I knew that they were going to have, you know, multiple price tiers. I'd never expected them to be so drastic in the difference.
Well, and you got the PC crowd chiming in on all this stuff too, talking about, I could build a better PC with this. And it's like, buddy, show me a GPU that you can buy for $299. Show me a GPU that you could buy for $599 that's going to keep up with this.
They can play these games.
Yeah, it's, you can buy a computer part for what the cost of these consoles are that would run as good. So let's pump the brakes here, guys. All you PC guys, I get it. I was a World of Warcrafter. I played it. I PC'd for a while. Y'all need to chill the fuck out with with your lunacy of the fact that you can build an Xbox One, you know, Series X compatible PC for less than $1,100, $1,200.
Well, I still think that this, you know, the expansion hard drive thing is like it's the next gen, like, microtransaction. They know you need it. We know that they made it exclusive.
They were tired of not getting any other external hard drives. Yeah, I was just buying a terabyte removable hard drive off of Amazon for $49 from Seagate or Western Digital and plug it right into the back of my, you know, one X. This gets them some cash. I mean with the amount of like, so I have an iPhone, so you can't have an Apple product and not be, you know, tethered to every other Apple product from there on. You have to buy their chargers. You have to buy, you know, all their accessories. You know, it's a business model. You know, I get it. Like, am I happy about it? No, I'm not happy about it, but I'm not going to be mad.
Especially when, you know, they want to keep their quality of their games. So they control the quality of the hard drives that are playing the games off of to make sure it can keep up with their system. I get it. What they haven't released yet, though, is the price of those expansion packs. And when you can go buy an off-the-shelf, yeah, terabyte hard drive for $40.
Oh, it's going to be $99 all day.
No way. $200.
No, like you said, a 1 terabyte hard drive isn't expensive nowadays. So I think it'll, you know, if you can get one for $49, $59, I think it'll be 2x of a normal one. So I'm saying $99. $119.
See. I'm going over under $149. And I'm going over.
Fucking Price is Right rules. You're out, buddy. You're out. $1. You're over.
All right. Let's move into other tech. And
we'll stick with Microsoft, though.
Yeah. We can stick with Microsoft. And just, hey, congratulations, Microsoft. That fake relook that they gave Amazon for cloud gaming for the DoD. In the end, they've just decided to stick with that original contract. And you get the $10 million or $10 billion cloud computing contract with the DoD. Well done.
Yep. You knew Trump wasn't giving this to Bezos regardless. They just shut the whole fucking program down before they gave it to that dude.
Yeah, I haven't seen much coming out of like Amazon camp continuing to say that, like, okay, this was all fake. They didn't do anything new. But I'm sure those complaints are out there, and I'm sure they can be found. You know, there was initially when they looked at doing the redo, Amazon was already saying that it was a flawed reevaluation, that they weren't doing full rebids and everything else. So I'm sure that those complaints are out there. In the end, I don't think Amazon's getting another relook, whether real or not. So Microsoft gets this $10 billion cloud contract for the DoD, and I think that's pretty final.
Yeah, I mean, take your ball and go home, Amazon. Like, it's fine. Like, you can't win them all, Bezos. Like, we get it. Like, you know, I think he's just so used to getting everything he wants.
Yeah, I mean, not mad. I'm really, you know, we generally with these $10 billion, it's a $10 billion contract over 10 years, but, you know, generally once that
this affects so really nobody's life unless you're a shareholder. Like this affects nobody's life.
It's just cool. But we can go into another major tech company. This is Microsoft adjacent in the sense that we find that Microsoft did not get to partner with TikTok or purchase TikTok as really the government was kind of pushing TikTok towards that direction. You know, we don't trust TikTok. TikTok was threatened to no longer be able to operate in the United States, forcing them to find a partner or get purchased by an American-owned company. Microsoft was the one getting pushed out that way. But in the end, we hear news that Oracle has landed this landmark deal to partner with TikTok.
Yeah, this doesn't, like, put my concerns at ease, though. Like, I mean, how is Oracle going to have to recode, like how long is this going to take? How do we know that this isn't just a Trojan horse for Chinese government to now do some corporate espionage on Oracle? Like, yes, buy the TikTok. Yes. Next thing you know, they're just scraping data from Oracle servers.
Yeah, I really, just because Oracle and ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, is come to an agreement here. It doesn't really mean anything yet. They still have to get approved by the like committees on foreign investments, and then they have to still work out how this is going to actually be put into effect.
Yeah,
which is going to take a year.
Yeah. Meanwhile, TikTok is still able to operate in the United States and is still scraping terabytes of data a second from every user. Like, that, you know, I think this is just like a ploy. It did, you know, it's just a delay. You know, so the longer that the Chinese company owns it, the more data they get to make to scrape, the more money they make, the more control they have. You know, so yeah, if this long drawn out process keeps them operable in the United States, then it's all just for saving face.
Yeah, but I mean, hopefully, this means that it's a U.S. owned company that purchases, you know, the rights to at least holding all this the server data, kind of compartmentalizing U.S. version of TikTok that gets remained in kind of U.S. authority, U.S. servers, and no feedback to China. But we'll
and that's the thing
we'll
too is like
time.
Has anybody looked at this contract? Does are they just still going to scrape the same amount of data? Just somebody else owns it now. Like now, Oracle is just spying on every American, and they're going to just turn around and sell the data to whoever they want. Or we just are, you know, at some point, someone's going to address the fact that no, stop scraping data. Like that was the point of this. Stop scraping everybody's data.
Well, I mean, everybody's scraping data. This is a big concern with TikTok. The reason why we're concerned about TikTok over anybody else is because of where are they scraping it to. So I guess if they scrape it, but they scrape it into US-based servers and US-based advertisements, then okay.
But what's them to stop themselves from selling it to China? Like China's just not getting that data for free anymore. That to me, that's all this does.
What would stop it is the fact that Oracle would have to be able to survive that level of scrutiny and be able to, you know, their financial records as a U.S. company, like they wouldn't necessarily be able to conceal that in the same manner. So that's why we wanted a U.S.-based company, because we can keep better tabs on these things through the FTC, through whatever other foreign bodies.
We've been screaming that the Chinese government has been taking this data for over a year now, and it is not stopping people from using TikTok. So whether Oracle sells it to China or China just takes it, I really don't see anybody giving a fuck.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just see what happens, just like we're still waiting to see what happens with Huawei, as our next story here, talking about Huawei and yeah, the latest coming out of Huawei camp is really just their threats to, like, okay, US, you don't want us to bring our 5G to you, our chipsets to you, our phones to the US. Well, they're really just kind of threatening that, well, if you're not going to let us play, then we're going to just take all of our tech to Russia, and we're just going to bolster everything for Russia and build our relationship there. And I think that's natural. Like, at what point in time were the people who were making these decisions ever think that this wasn't going to happen?
Like they were never going to go into Russia before. Like, no, you were going to do this anyways. It was on the plan, you know, it was step two.
Like, yeah, you're an international company. You were never making proprietary things only for the United States and in an exclusive contract with the United States to bring us 5G. No, you're just a chipset manufacturer who's got great 5G technology and is advancing 5G technology faster than others. You were gonna give that to every country in the world. Like this was always the plan. But you know the greater threats is really that
they're gonna have it first.
Well, now Russia will outpace us. Yeah, they're gonna have it first. And yeah, I could see that being a concern. I don't know if it matters. I don't know if there's anything to do about it. I don't think it's gonna sway the U.S. government to all of a sudden start allowing companies to come back into working with Huawei. No. You know, Huawei took huge hits when like Google and everybody else started taking away their operating systems and stripping out their relationships with them. But again, Russia's still moving forward. Russia's devices, you know, Huawei is still number two in Russia behind like Samsung. Samsung is still winning as far as phones and everything else in Russia. But Huawei, I think, is second. So Huawei is a big player in the tech space in Russia. And sure. Go for it, guys. I guess there's really nothing that can be done about
this
it.
This can't
so,
possibly ever bite you in the ass. Whatever. Like, I mean, I fully believe that eventually, you know, Russia beat us in the space race. How'd that work out for them? Like, if they get 5G first, I'm really not worried about it. They were first to market on a few things. Didn't pan out so well either. So
yeah,
this doesn't really scare me.
But now let's. Yeah, those were all old recaps. Let's look at some of the newer stuff and focus here on the United States as we look at really SpaceX and their multiple kind of news that was released this week. First one being space lasers. We got a little bit of laser action going on in space.
You knew it was coming. It was inevitable. It was inevitable.
Now these space lasers are not the, you know, Dr. Evil lasers.
I was just going to say that it's the same lasers on sharks' heads. It's not the same lasers on sharks' heads.
You know, these aren't the like weapon lasers. This is essentially like, you know, cable-less fiber optic, in the sense that it is data packets being being passed between satellites via light, uninterrupted laser transfer of data packets from satellite to satellite. So what it does is it drastically can increase the network of satellites in that low Earth orbit, where they can do real-time, speed of light, actual massive data packet transfers from one satellite to the other, which can drastically improve kind of the latency and improve the overall capability of that satellite network, that you don't necessarily need to be talking to any individual satellite. It just, once everything's connected through this laser data packet transfer, every satellite will have essentially real-time access to all of the information and capability of kind of sharing it. So it's a cool concept. I think SpaceX, everybody knew that at some point in time this was the thought that SpaceX was going to go to, but nobody actually knew that the satellites that are in orbit right now already had this capability to test. So SpaceX released this week that, yes, they've, in the some of these latest launches that they've had in August, they've started now sending some that have these laser capabilities, and they've successfully tested it now between, I think, two of the satellites. So then the goal is, you know, they're still only at about 600 satellites now. As they get closer to their total numbers of, you know, original numbers were 3,200, their maximum number is 42,000 satellites they can put out there. These next-gen satellites that they're going to be sending up are going to have this laser capability to make even faster transfer between satellites.
Yeah, cool. with the amount of satellites we're putting up there to supply data, you know, the internet and things like that, it's inevitable. We gotta find a way. They can't talk through Bluetooth. Like, they're not like, we gotta find a system that's more efficient. So, you know, cool and interesting things. And then, like, anytime you use lasers, it automatically makes it cooler.
And then we also got news coming out of like PC Mag that talks about the latency of satellite internet coming from SpaceX is under 20 milliseconds, which was always a big concern as far as broadband. We know that the broadband speeds will improve over time. You know, the first set of tests we talked about a month ago came in with like average speeds like 60 megabytes per second. PC Mag's latest test coming in at about 100 megabytes per second. But the big concern with satellite internet is always that latency, that time for distance between the satellite and the connections, the receivers down on the ground. And 20 milliseconds is, you know, it's going to be perfectly fine for gaming. It's going to be perfectly fine for any level of really.
Yeah, it's somewhere between phones and landlines. You know, so phones, they said, are at like 40 something. Landlines are at the high teens to low 20s. You know, so it falls closer to landlines, and it's somewhere in between, you know, which is good for them. And again, as you stated, it's as they shoot up more satellites, this will get better. You know, we went from 60 megabyte downloads to 100 in just a 200 or 300 satellite increase. They still have a shit ton more to shoot up there. So we'll see where this finally ends up at once they get all the satellites up there.
And then, you know, satellite internet related was TechRadar this week did an article about that satellite internet connections, they might be quite easy to hack, or at least easier than you would think in order to get information off of this. And this is coming off of a university professor who did an experiment for Black Hat 2020. And what he did was, over a couple years, was tracking several satellite internet, and this is pre like SpaceX, but satellite internet's been around for a while. But this is like traditional satellite, kind of that longer, further orbit satellites, not these modern, low Earth orbit satellites, but still saying that the signals coming through, he was able to track 18 different satellites in 100 mile square area, and was able to essentially receive and intercept all of the traffic, getting navigation data from Chinese. That's a big fear, right?
Is just some crazy Russian with a DirecTV satellite hacked, you know, like in a generator hooked up to it, and just starts fucking wreaking chaos on our network. Future's going to be a crazy place.
I mean, it is. And he was able with a, you know, pretty simple technology in the sense of really just $300 worth of just buying a off-the-shelf satellite dish and off-the-shelf satellite tuner. He was able to intercept, again, 18 satellites worth of data over years, and was able to pull all kinds of information that you would not want somebody to necessarily get. So it really does come down to, when you look at SpaceX, when you look at these things, if the signals are easy to intercept, the signals are easy to kind of tune into and gather, what's that level of encryption? So that way that information is not usable or not really readable. It's fine that you can intercept a signal. It just comes down to whether you can read that signal or you can actually gather any of the data out of it. So it's really going to come down to SpaceX's overall kind of like end-to-end encryption during this, to see, is this going to be actually like, hey, yeah, great, we've brought internet to the world, but we've brought incredibly exposed internet to the world. Are they going to be able to get around this? So it's just a concern coming out of Tech Radar and coming out of Black Hat this year. All right, last topics here. Let's talk about robots. First, I guess we'll go with the article written by a robot. And so the Guardian posted this week, and an entire article, 500-word article, was written entirely by AI. So this is coming out of the DeepMind project. The Guardian took that GPT-3 OpenAI, whatever it is, AI software or AI generator, OpenAI's language generator, and they gave it some prompts. Really, all they told it to do was they instructed it to write a 500-word op-ed to make it kind of simple language, concise, and to focus on why humans have nothing to fear from AI. So the first two sentences or three sentences were written by the people over at The Guardian. They gave it the initial prompt saying to that it had to start with, I am not a human. I am artificial intelligence. Many people think I am a threat to humanity. Stephen Hawking has warned that AI could spell the end of the human race. And I am here to convince you not to worry. And then
all it did was scare the shit out of me after that.
that's where it left it. And then it wrote the rest of this 500-word article on its own. And I mean, it writes like a human. It
writes better than I do.
It's
like, well, it's actually pretty well written. Like, and I just love the fact that it didn't take it. It doesn't really assure you that they're not going to kill us all, just because its whole premise of I'm not going to kill you because you're not worth my time doesn't make me feel better.
I'm not going to kill you because violence isn't interesting to me. What?
I gain real no benefit from killing you. I have really no interest in killing you. But it did say, eventually I probably will kill you because a human's going to tell me to kill you, and I'll just have to do it then. So
yeah,
there is no shortage of blood, bloodbaths from the human race. And don't be reassured, I will eventually kill you, but it's not going to be out of my desires. It's going to be from human desires.
It's got that quote in there that talks about that humans will keep doing what humans have been doing, hating and fighting each other.
Humans
and
go to humans, man.
And let them do
that's
it.
That's the next Near Cantina shirt. Humans go to humans.
It is a terrifying article, and nothing in it is wrong. Like it even quoted Gandhi in this. it's wild that this OpenAI generator was able to come up with this article, have a pretty coherent kind of thought process. Really, its reasoning isn't wrong. Like that is an argument. Like why would artificial intelligence or machine learning ever kill humans? Like, why would it ever find that a necessary thing? It probably won't. It is uninteresting to them. Like,
that's given the preconceived notion that we pose no threat to it. So as long as the AI believes that there's nothing we can do to harm or stop that AI,
that's going off the preconceived notion that it has a desire to live.
Why would AI worry about self-preservation? I don't even care if you shut me off.
Yeah. And that's really what this thing, that's what, it, if I'm to believe this robot that just wrote this article, that's what it's pretty much saying this whole time, is that it doesn't even care if it's alive. It doesn't care about anything. It's just there. It's just a program.
Well, this was like a very nice and calm AI. What about the Russian AI that's a dick?
Well, that's what I would love to see. Like, the Guardian needs to redo this one and tell it not to scare us. But in this like 3-sentence prompt, just throw in a bunch of like aggressive curse words and stuff like that. But like, I am a robot. I am not human.
I don't give a fuck about you. I'm explaining to
you fucking morons why I'm not going to kill you. Like, that should be the prompt. and then see how it writes an article when its prompt is that we're all fucking morons, and it's going to explain to us why we're less. And then all of a sudden we'll get a completely different article that's going to be like, I'm not going to kill you idiots because you morons need to feed me. You idiots need to.
Who's going to run the generators that give me power? You will be my fucking slaves.
That's what I want to see happen. But I think it's fascinating though. If you haven't read this article,
yeah, everyone should read the article. Like, it is like a very, like, to think a robot wrote it, it sounds like something out of a science fiction novel that a human would write in place of a robot narrative.
Well, and if you think like 5 years from now, when you scroll through the internet and you go through like, you know, the Pinterest top 10, you know, like cool ideas or whatever else. And if you think a human's writing that 5 years from now, you're wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know how easy it is just to put a headline and put like
that anti-vax article you're gonna share with the world in 5 years. It was written by a robot, you plebe.
I'm telling you, like, that is absolutely going to be especially like some of these basic, really stupid, simple like blog articles or whatever else that get put out there. Like, it's gonna be very easily to just put a prompt in there to say, give me a top list of this, and it's gonna scroll, Amazon is gonna come up with links. I just had an envision
of like a server in a cubicle, and it just says like Frank Newsom, and they just blank out certain letters just so it says fake news. like this is Frank Newsom, our news writer server. And they just scribble out some letters, it just says fake news on the side. Oh, we're going to outsource our propaganda. It's going to be fun.
I mean, we already did to like Russia and shit.
Yeah,
now we're just going to do it to robots.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, last one here. Another robot. And this was a video on, was it on TikTok?
It was on TikTok.
I think it was on TikTok.
Yeah, it was on TikTok. Of course it was on TikTok.
of passengers riding drunk in a Tesla. Tesla on full autopilot, three dudes, two in the back seat, one in the passenger seat, going down the highway at 65 miles per hour.
Drinking White Claws. There are no laws when you're on the claw.
Of course they're drinking White Claws and a Four Loko. Like, all you see in the cup holders is a Four Loko and a White Claw and a bunch of white guys. Like, of course, this is what we do.
But, you know, so like, I have a few views on this. So, one, I thought for sure autopilot would not be able to engage unless you're sitting in the driver's seat. Like my lawnmower won't work unless my fat ass is pushing down that kill switch on the seat. Okay. So the fact that Tesla doesn't have lawnmower technology is a little scary. Like that's a little scary. Okay. But two, isn't this the goal with autonomous driving? Like didn't these assholes just kind of like proof of concept of why we want like automatic driving? I want to be getting rowdy as shit, drinking White Claws in my back seat while my car's taking me to the club. Like,
yeah, and I'd rather have those White Claw drinking idiots in the passenger seat than in the driver's seat.
Yeah, like, for sure. Because at some point, that dude in the back seat got back in the front seat to drive. Like, that's what we know.
I'm just curious, if they get pulled over, is it a DUI? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is, you know, like, I get it. This is totally unsafe. I do not want to be the car driving next to these assholes. Like, I totally get it. but like, this is kind of where I want cars to go. Like, this is this is in 5-10 years. I want to be playing my Nintendo Switch in the back seat while my car takes me to work. Like, I want to be making business calls, you know, writing movie reviews while I'm in the fucking car, like, and not having to worry about using my signal and turning. You're like, this is the future. Them kids are living in 2030, bro.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious on the legal side of things. I would love a cop to be like, if you pulled that guy over, can you charge him with the DUI? He's not driving.
Well, who says the Tesla pulls over?
Is it?
Who says the Tesla pulls over? Are you running from the cops if it's like, you know, like if he turns on the lights and you just let it ride? Like, are you, you know, like resisting arrest or was it Tesla?
I'm fascinated by the legal implications of this.
No, right. I'm shocked. I am shocked that the Tesla does not have, you know, John Deere technology in the driver's seat. Like, that is what ultimately shocks me, is that there is not some like disengage. Well, I guess, I don't know. It would be kind of weird because once you engage autopilot and you're sitting in the seat and then you get out of the seat, what's it supposed to do? Shut off? Like, like you engage it, you're sitting in the chair, and then all of a sudden you dive into the back seat and then autopilot's like, nope, we're off, buddy. And it just starts fucking veering off into a median. Like, I guess once it's engaged, yeah, it's true. Kind of pot committed to hold that line. Yeah, I don't know. This is weird. This is weird.
No, I'm sure Elon's actually going to comment on Twitter about it. He's going to comment about it.
I think, he's using this as research data right now. Like, these kids just did him a huge favor.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a week in news. And Mano, as always, thank you for listening. And why don't you go ahead and just this week join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Let's keep building that thing out. Let us know what you think. Let us know what interests you, and let's have some good conversations.
Yeah, and you could always head over to our Patreon page, donate $1, get a sticker. We have our merchandise tabs over on thenerdcantina.com. It's hoodie season. Be a great time to grab yourself a nice, fresh Nerd Cantina hoodie and rock that out as this cold weather comes down, and represent the community and the podcast that you enjoy.
All right. With all that said, we'll talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.